Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're speaking with Beth Potter about her incredible new 5K time.
Have you both had a beer and a haircut?
I've had a beer, but no haircut.
Ah, well, beer for breakfast in your house, isn't it, Rick?
Only on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, right, get good. My hair done tomorrow, so...
Oh, Jane, you're in. You've gone straight in.
Anyone listening to this, I will have new hair by the time you're listening.
Were you at all tempted to go for something absolutely, like, completely new? And or is it, like, same again, please?
Rick, if you know me at all, you'll know that I've been trying to grow my hair for the whole 28 years I've been alive. So I go to the hairdresser and cry when they cut my hair. So it's not a pleasurable experience, but I thought I've got to get in there. I haven't had a haircut in 2021.
You've done a lot of DIY haircut, Ben, haven't you? I've seen many different haircuts sported on your head over last year.
For something to do, Rick, I grew a beard for a bit and then that got boring, so I shaved that off and I had a moustache for about 36 hours and that was fun, but I was also nearly kicked out of the house for it. So that went quite quickly as well afterwards. But now I've just sort of got it's just a lot of hair. And I quite like it now. It's got past the phase of being horrible, but running...
Oh, you're growing it out.
Yeah, but this is it. It's a whole new world to me. So running with long hair is actually a hassle. First of all, sweatiness. Hair gets sweaty. That's really annoying. That's never happened to me before because I've never had hair, I'd have a shaved side of the head. So it's never been an issue. And that was the last run I did, I came back with... And I had to wash it then. So that, I mean, not that I wouldn't have washed it before, but, it was important that I did wash it this time. I couldn't have not washed it, basically. And then, so there's, it's been a huge learning curve for me. The perils of long hair and running is just it's a podcast in itself, but maybe we'll save that for another time.
It's funny, though, because I've got the South Downs Way 50 coming up, and there's part of me that's like, trying to pack as light as possible, right? So I'm thinking
not taking the clippers.
So I'm thinking like a very light head torch. I'm like, oh, I've got to take a jacket, so I'm going to take the lightest jacket I can that's within the regulation, etc. And I was like, and I'm going to be running around with like so much hair. Should I just do a DIY haircut before? Feel a bit more sort of streamlined, But my wife's very against that.
What's the
I think fair enough.
What's the weather looking like, Rick? Isn't it going to be cold? You might need that hair.
That's actually true. Yeah, I think it's highs of 12, and when it starts at like 7, it's going to be 3 degrees.
Yeah, keep the hair. Keep the hair.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to have a hat. That's just going to weigh you down.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, that's good. I'm glad I haven't with the DIY haircut.
Not shaving your head on the podcast because it'll be too late.
how are you feeling about the weekend then, Rick? 50 miles, first race back.
Yeah, I'm really excited, actually. I mean, and I've talked a lot on here about that I haven't missed racing too much, but I think there is something about like a number turning up in the post.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, wow, this is going to happen. A little bit of trepidation to do with just the distance. Yeah, 50 miles a long way. I guess it'll be the biggest kind of social occasion that I've been to in over a year. And that feels like, Centurion are amazing at really following the social distancing guidelines, and there's lots of different stuff they're doing to ensure that it's safe. But there's still part of me that's like, well, there's going to be like potentially 400 people there or something.
Yeah,
wow. That's a big gathering by my terms now. Yeah,
but I was thinking on this. There's obviously race day nerves and the stuff that you feel before any race, and that's kind of good. But We've all kind of had this. I mean, I say all, I'm going to broad sweeping statements about everyone, but certainly from a personal experience, there's no way I've not developed some social anxiety around people. And I think that if faced with a, now obviously it's an ultra race, so you've got a smaller field and it's all managed and all that sort of stuff. But if, imagine if it was the times of old and you were about to tread the start of London Marathon with 40,000 people, I would be terrified. And not just in a race like, oh, this is a marathon sense. Like, I just think that we've had it so drummed into us now that like proximity to people is which is dreadful. It's just this sort of like unnerving thing of like, oh, well, there's going to be all these people near me. I'm not sure about this.
Yeah. I think in some ways, like, it's great to go back and, for me, on a race perspective, to go and do a race like this, which is kind of naturally social distance anyway, because over 50 miles, people are going to spread out, or on the South Downs. So there's loads of room. So it feels like a nice kind of first step back into mass participation racing. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to feel as intense at all as like a big city road race.
Well, that's good. I think everyone should probably ease themselves back into racing in that way. But so apart from, you know, being terrified of other humans, are you feeling all right about it though?
Yeah, I'm feeling. I think, like, given there are certain things we all couldn't really do over the last 12 months. So like, I couldn't train on the South Downs, for instance. And how much I would have done, I don't know anyway. But so I haven't done great specific training in the sense of like getting out on the trails, but I have been really consistently running, and I kind of feel like it's going to be, in some ways, it's going to be enough just to be out racing again in a part of the world that I love, and that's kind of exciting in itself. And I've got a kind of rough time goal of me and a mate of mine who's also doing it, we're both like, it'd be great to try and do under 8 hours. So that's definitely the goal. I don't know if I'm going to care so much if it doesn't happen either, because I just think like, oh, it'd be nice to it's been nice to do it.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had a time goal, and I knew that you would, but I'm just how significant it was is quite an interesting one.
No, not too significant. I think that's one of the great things about ultra racing, isn't it, that people don't ask you, like, no. Say you go around 50 miles, people are like, oh well,
how fast?
That's quite good. What time though? It just doesn't happen, does it?
No. It's kind of like, oh, it's like, well done,
that's a long way.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Literally the only thing that appeals to me about running an ultra, the fact that, you know, when you say you work for Runner's World and you go and do a marathon, everyone's like, oh, what time? And you're just like, oh, bore off. But that's the only thing that appeals to me about running for more than 26 miles, that people would stop asking me that question. No offence to anyone listening who has asked me that question.
Pretty sure Jane's job interview, I asked her what her... No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, what about you guys racing? Like, are you keen to get signed up for one as quick as possible, or are you kind of happy for it just to happen when it happens?
Do you know, I'm because of reading, I've actually been ignoring the news quite a lot, not in a sort of ignorant way, but just in a sort of like filtering out a lot of the chat, hopefully. And I'm just sort of like wary of how soon things will really be back on signing up for races, just not in a like doom and gloom kind of way, but just in the way that other countries who've done probably a better job of vaccinating and quarantining and whatever are still experiencing waves and spikes and stuff, and then watching people desperately trying to get into the pub at midnight last night to have a pint just because they could. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying it because everyone needs that release right now, but I just feel like the moment these things are the sort of, you know, the steps taken are loosened or whatever it is that's happening, I'm just sort of wary that there's, I don't know, potential for non-racing to be a thing later on in the year maybe. So I'm not like full, I'm going to sign up for a race right now, but yeah. I don't see why I shouldn't. I'm looking forward to doing a race, but you know, I'm nowhere near physically ready for a race anyway. So I think my worries are sort of misplaced against my ability, but anyway, yeah, I'd like to do one soon. Yeah.
What about you, Jay?
I think I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. I think I did a socially distanced half was it a half marathon or a 10K in the New Forest last summer, and that was really it was all right, but I really missed the crowds. And I've done a virtual half, and I hated every second of it because again I felt like I didn't have to really, you know, I didn't really have to race because I was just doing it virtually. And that is absolutely no like shade to anyone who did the Royal Parks half virtually this weekend, because I think it's harder to do it without the crowds.
Definitely.
And I think all those runners were amazing, but I just don't enjoy it in the way I know I would enjoy a race. So I've not signed up to anything, but I have got the London Triathlon, which is in August, which hopefully will be going ahead. I haven't managed to do any swimming, so I don't know how that will go. And then I've got London Marathon and Chicago Marathon in the autumn, which we'll wait and see what happens with those. So I'm kind of not in a hurry, because I am the most anxious person in the world. And I'm not really one of those people that I know that I could train for a race, and if it became a virtual race, I'd be okay with that. I don't think I'd want to do it if it was virtual, just because I don't think I'm motivated enough. And that's awful, but it's true.
Well, no, I think that's fair enough. I think that's kind of unsurprising in some ways, isn't it? Like, of course, having a crowd there and the kind of that sense of spectacle, that's what kind of makes a race experience.
That is racing, for sure.
Yeah, I love the crowds. Yeah. I love the expo. I love picking up my number. I love nervously talking to runners before. All the things I love, you just don't get in a virtual race. And I completely understand why people are still running virtual races for charity and doing all these amazing things. But for me, it just... I don't know. I need that race day vibe to really kind of push myself. But we'll see. I'm not in a rush, but I do miss it, and I'm kind of jealous that you're doing one at the weekend. If it wasn't 50 miles, I'd be more jealous.
Yeah, right.
but you'll be great.
Yeah. No, it'll be fun. We're talking with Beth Potter this week, who did that amazing time at the Podium 5K event. It was, I think, she ran 41.
Yep.
Yeah. Crazy.
I was thinking about the reaction, and Beth's going to go on and talk a bit about this, but it's a sort of very modern and slightly cynical reaction in some quarters to fantastic running, isn't it? It's basically, it's probably the shoes. Mm. The shoes were a big. That was probably what it was. Yeah. And also, was there some kind of foul play, or was the course the right distance? And I think it's a shame, because I understand why like people have become cynical, you know, in athletics, but I think if we're not careful, we're never going to celebrate things in the way that maybe we ought to, because it's just it's so much kind of naysaying. What do you think?
It was interesting to see how it played out. Social media is always the worst place for these things to play out, so that's immediately where I can go now as a reference point. But it was kind of mind-boggling, because you just obviously had, in the majority, men looking at Beth's previous times and drawing a whatever line between them all, and just being like, well, she's run this time and it's not close to her PB, or wasn't close to her PB, and so there's something amiss. And that was basically it. Not like, oh, I wonder what training she's been doing to get to this point, or she must have, you know, been working extremely hard, which, you know, if you speak to her, which you guys have, you'll find out that she has been. And, you know, it's those sorts of things. And, oh yeah, she's got a new ASICS shoe on, then that's got to be it. Well, no, that's not a be all and end all. It was, as you say, like, I'm pretty sure that the modern era just gives it this sort of really cynical slant to it all, where immediately it's to critique rather than to like celebrate.
I can't imagine how that feels as an athlete either, when you've trained, like, as you'll all hear, Beth has trained so hard and for such a long time, and then you run this amazing race and you're on cloud nine, and then you look at your phone and it's just negativity. Like, it must just be awful. I don't know.
Yeah,
no one likes a troll.
No one likes a troll. It's funny. I think, it's not consistent either, is it?
No.
Because say the shoe criticism, or what people, you know, what you wear on your feet. I guess you could look at like Chris Thompson's amazing win, like at the Olympic trials, right? Age 39, ran a PB, was wearing the Nike Vaporfly or Next Percent or whatever. And rightly, that isn't what the headline is. It's what a fantastic
39-year-old man. 39-year-old man, probably, who's had a busy week having babies, and you know, wow, what an achievement.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than, well, I'm not sure Chris Thompson would have run a PB at age 39 if he'd been wearing shoes that didn't have a carbon plate. Because it's kind of like everyone's doing, that's what Beth, I think, is like, everyone is wearing these shoes, right? Yeah. It's not like she's running against someone who's in like some plimsolls. Like everyone's been wearing these shoes now for quite a while. Yeah. So like, and been getting the gains from it. So like, of course, times are getting quicker because partly because of the shoes. We know that. But I kind of think it doesn't mean that no performance again is yeah. is praiseworthy just because the shoes have got better.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, you guys had a good chat with her, I think.
Yeah, it was good. It was great to chat to her. And yeah, she's got some tips actually for other people who want to run their best 5K time in whatever shoe they might be wearing. So it's worth listening to, even if you're not, you know, in the game of setting world records.
We might well on that note, let's talk to the guest of the week.
Yeah. Guest of the week. Here in the studio, guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown. Our guest this week is a British triathlete who recently hit the headlines with an incredible performance at the Podium 5K, running a time of 14:41. Beth Potter, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a manic week, but I'm happy to talk about it.
For anyone who's like not familiar with, you know, your running background and all your achievements so far, could you give us a brief summary of your career so far?
Sure, yeah. So I started out actually on track and field, and you know, did that up until 2016, like pretty seriously. So I obviously have competed at Commonwealth Games, European Champs, World Champs, and Olympic Games as well. And it was really after 2016, having had a disappointment race at the Olympics, and I kind of had in my head that I wanted to try triathlon at some stage in my career. And I felt like that was just like an ideal time to kind of move away from track and field and just try something completely different and just see how it would go, sort of thing. So it was very much diving into the unknown and just giving it a shot.
So it's actually kind of running first for you, and then you've gone into like the multi-discipline event.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
I actually started off as a swimmer. So I did a lot of swimming when I was younger and kind of supplemented that with two runs a week, like one on the track and one just to run. And very quickly got success on the track. And, you know, as that kind of progressed up to, you know, under 23 and then senior level, the swimming just came out. So by the time I'd gone to university as like a 17-year-old, I wasn't really swimming much at all. And mainly doing running in the week. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. And it kind of fell into running through swimming sort of thing. Yeah.
I think you seem like that photo that I think we put it on our page and I think everyone's seen it. You look so shocked to have run such an amazing time.
Yeah.
How did you feel? Like you can kind of almost feel your emotion from that photo, but how did it feel in real life, I guess?
My first initial reaction across the line was, well, if you calibrated that clock correctly, like is that for real? Like, because I heard him, like I knew, like, yeah. I'm not like stupid or anything. I knew the times that he was reading out, and I was like, oh, he must be standing in the wrong split markers. Like, there's no way. How have I just run? I've run an 8:44. That's a 3K PB. Like. And it felt quite comfortable. I was just, okay, this is odd. He's definitely started us off at the wrong place or something. And also because I had in my head, you know, I'd raced Super League Triathlon the week before and I really pushed on training that week when I got back. And I think part of that was probably because I was on a high from taking the win at Super League. And also, you know, I knew that, well, I'd only decided really last minute I was going to do this and I didn't really want another taper into another race because I wanted to keep my kind of base fitness there because with my eyes on the rest of the season with the World Triathlon Series. So, you know, I went into that off the block, like off the back of a big week. So I honestly would have been happy running 15:15. That was what I thought, right, this will be a really good run if I can get a PB on the road and the track. And I thought that would be solid off the back of a big block of training. So to run that time was like, wow, what has happened? It felt like an out-of-body experience. I was like, I didn't, yeah, I still, like, the last couple of nights I've been lying in bed and I'm just like, mad.
Yeah. How did crazy. I
do that? Do you run with, like, cause I know a lot of top athletes don't kind of race with watches, actually. Were you wearing one? Were you kind of like, you know, looking at it, or were you just kind of like, just going to do it on feel?
I've had this question a lot this week. I actually don't know where my Garmin is.
Right.
Like, genuinely, I don't know. It's in a training bag somewhere. I don't know where it is. I haven't used it for about a month now. It is missing. But I did, because I had my phone, and I usually warm up to music. So, and it's usually on my watch, actually, that music used on my watch. So I had to take my phone and my warm up. And I usually get to like 4 or 5 songs into the one of my Taylor Swift albums. And I was like, right, okay. And my coach was like, no, take my watch. Take my watch. Warm up with the watch. And I was like, okay. So I had his watch. But I still, like, I knew what I was doing. I was listening to my 4 or 5 songs. And then I remember, actually, specifically, he said to me, he was standing at the fence and taking my kit before I went into the start line. And he was like, keep the watch. I was like, no, I'm not keeping the watch. I don't like to race with a watch on. I've done it a couple of times, but I like just to forget about it and just go. And for example, if I'd worn a watch in that first K, I probably would have held back, and then I would have been running in no man's land. Whereas, yeah, I know this is fast. I'm running 250 pace right now, but if I don't go with it, then I'm going to have no one to run with. And yeah, sure, some of the boys are going to come off the back of this, but and I probably will as well. So it's better just to go with it now, and then at least I've got people to run with. Because I didn't want to just, you know, be so strict with the times that I had to hit. I mean, it's a race; you just have to go with it. So I'm very much like all in, just go as hard as you can.
Yeah, I'd like to see more amateurs running without watches. Because I think lots of amateur runners, they almost feel completely lost without.
Yeah,
watch.
Guilty. 100%. I'm
talking to you, Jay. But yeah,
I actually like to go to training sometimes as well. And, you know, say I've got like kilometer reps or something. I mean, for the past 4 weeks, I haven't had a watch. So I've gone to training and I've just had to run. Because that's one thing, like, there's lots of things I'm not good at. But one thing I'm good at is get kind of dialing into a pace and just sticking there. So I find it quite good practice as well. Like, I can go to training, and if I've got to run, I don't know, 3 minute, three or five Ks, I can go to the track and kind of just dial in that first lap and then settle into rhythm. So I think it's quite a useful tool as well. And especially like in triathlon, when you don't always have markers for that. So it is it's a good like training practice, yeah. I guess.
It's also good. I find that I can lie to myself that I'm going much faster than I am if I don't run with a watch. Like that was probably a 6 minute mile, you know.
Yeah, and often like it works both ways. Like often, you know, I'll have days where I go to the track or to the canal to do my session and I don't feel good. And I don't want to be looking at a watch that tells me I'm running at a certain pace, which is way off, because then I get anxiety about it. I'd rather just do the session off feel, like that was hard. And like often there's like markers in the canal, you know, where you get to. So I mean it's fine, but you know, I've always got someone there anyway who's got a watch on, either coach or another training partner. So
I think, as tends to be the case these days, which is, I find it quite sad actually, some people want to focus more on the shoes than the runner actually wearing them. As an athlete, obviously you're on this massive high. Have you been a bit disappointed by some of the reaction by some people this week about your shoes?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually tried to stay off Twitter as much as possible, but I've had a couple of friends message me and say, I hope you're not taking what they're saying to heart and stuff. And like, no, because every athlete has now got access to a similar shoe. You know, it's different brands, but everyone steps up to the plate. And I think at the end of the day, you have to do the training. Like, and none of the people that see me train know that I am, you know that I duck out of sessions. I don't. I train really hard. I probably train too hard sometimes, and that's my downfall. But you don't get anywhere with a bit of hard work. So, and I'm proud of the fact that I train hard. I like that. You know, I've always aspired to. You know, all my training partners, I look up to them because they train really hard, and I think that's really admirable. So I hope like people, know that, and that's what I'm like.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, I think it can be a bit inconsistent, some of the reaction to this stuff. If you think of, let's look at the, you know, the British Olympic marathon trial, and you know, Chris Thompson, such a popular winner, rightly so. I mean, he ran a PB, didn't he? Age 39. That's quite rare, actually. He was wearing the Nike shoes, and On allowed him to do that, etc. I don't think that many people talked about that time being diminished in some ways. It was just a great story, and rightly so. And I think in your case, it's been, yeah, I feel like it's not completely consistent, the reaction that you've got, and it should have been far more positive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, I think 99% of the people on Twitter have, you know, had to, they've fought my own battle for me. You know, they don't even know me, but they're still like, you know, they're saying that it's awesome and it was inspirational, and that's great. But you do get the occasional person that thinks you're, I don't know, doping, or the course was short, or something like that. But I mean, they don't know me, so I don't really care. Like, the people, I'd be more upset if it was people I train with or my coaches that didn't believe it, but they all do. So.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can we talk a little bit about the training? Because obviously 5K is such a popular distance with, you know, with park runners as well. What advice would you give to anyone who's looking to run their best 5K? Is there like a session or a type of training that's really worked for you and you think could work for others?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I think cross training works.
Yeah, right.
Like, I think it doesn't need to, and I was guilty of this at university. Like, you don't need to run loads. You need to just be able to obviously run as far as distance, but make sure, like, if you do struggle with injury, or you do struggle with, you know, a lot of people do struggle with injury running because it's quite high impact, but, you know, you can supplement that with biking or swimming. And with the weather being nice, you know, coming into summer, it's not as grueling having to go out on a bike ride. It's the weather's going to get better and it's a bit more appealing.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about, like, Steph Davis obviously winning the Olympic marathon trial. I think she runs 60 miles a week, which is possibly half of what some of the people she's running against might. And I think she kind of cycles to and from work every day, swims a couple of times, so almost sort of triathlete training, which I think, maybe more runners should be looking to do that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I do believe in it so much now. Like, and when I look at it, going back to when I was at school, you know, I did a lot of cross training, and that was only swimming, but I did a lot of that kind of, you know, 8 sessions a week, and I was only doing a little bit of running, and I was running, you know, the whole time throughout university. I couldn't beat times I was running when I was a 15, 16 year old schoolgirl, and I just couldn't understand it. But, you know, it's just something you cannot replace with running, because you can't go out for a 2.5 hour run like 4 days a week, because you'd be injured and your legs would be trashed. So I think, yeah, it's definitely, it's low impact, and you can do it for a longer period of time where your heart rate's quite low. So it doesn't take as much out of yourself physically. I would advise, like, making sure that you gradually do this, because it is tiring and it will take time to adapt.
Yeah.
And having run such an amazing time, are you tempted to now specialise in running rather than triathlon? Are you still going to mix and match between the two? Like, what's the goal next, I guess?
I still haven't really digested it all. You know, obviously my main aim was to compete at the Olympics and I was going for triathlon. Unfortunately, that option is unavailable to me at the moment. So, yeah, it's a tricky one because I'm just trying to stay in the moment and look at one race at a time and not get too carried away. So my next focus is the Super League Arena Games in Rotterdam, and I'm going to, you know, like do that and then reassess and, you know, just keep my options open so that if an opportunity does come up in either sport, then I'm ready. You know, luckily I don't have to change my training for both because I know that it works. So I just need to just stay in the moment and just focus on the next task in hand.
We were saying last week that I tend to celebrate victories in races where and this is sort of huge chat again, but when the athlete isn't wearing you know, the Nike Vaporflies, because they felt like, you know, for a few years have been the shoe that most people are wearing when they win. What were the Asics Metaspeed shoes like to run in? Because I guess that they're probably not a shoe that lots of our listeners will be too familiar with.
No, so I guess Asics have had a couple of carbon shoes that they brought out. So yeah. They have the Meta Racer, which I've trained in a lot, and then recently got sent the kind of model before this one that came out. So it's basically the same, apart from it's a different color and a different material on the top. So everything else is about it is exactly the same. So I have been training in that for maybe 8 weeks now, and I really liked it. I preferred it much more to the Meta Racer just because of the stack height, and just the response I got from it. In training, and also I found that after training I don't feel as my legs recover quicker, so I can get back to training hard, you know, that week and not have, you know, not have a big easy block and then into hard training again. So I found that's been really good.
That's the interesting area of these kind of super shoes, I think, the idea that you can potentially train harder in them. It's not just a race day benefit that you get in them. I think that probably been underreported a little bit. I think super, like, good reason for runners of all abilities to maybe consider a shoe like that. It's like, actually, you may be able to run harder and recover quicker. That for me is almost like a bigger benefit than what you're going to get in a race.
I had 3 or 4 years where I wasn't sponsored by a shoe brand, so I did get to try the runs of them all, and I really like the Metaspeed. It's a great shoe, really good.
Cool, Beth. Thanks so much for making the time to speak with us for the Runners World Podcast. Great to talk to you about your recent 5K performance and what other people can do to maybe improve their time over the distance. And best of luck, be it triathlon or running in the future.
Thanks very much, and thanks for having me on.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World Podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Beth Potter, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to Runners World magazine and get 3 issues for just £5. Head over to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer.
The Runners World Podcast is available on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search for Runners World UK and click subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.